You're all welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala this morning, and would like to welcome you if it's your first time here. If you're a visitor, if you're a guest, if it's your first time in a long time, thank you so much for coming to fellowship with us. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians. So let's read together the text, the entire chapter 2, talking about standing fast in this world that is falling apart. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away first comes, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that it may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken away. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you are taught, whether by word or our epistle. Like closes in prayer. Now, may our God Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Lord, thank you so much for your word for us today. Thank you so much for the joy of gathering together as brothers and sisters and together, worshiping you, praising you, singing to you, God, and opening up your word and receiving this food that our soul so desires. And as we, Lord, hear your voice through these pages, as you strengthen us and enlighten us concerning the evil one in this world, we ask that this may only give us courage, determination, and the will to obey you. We know that, as your word says here, the evil one is at work to deceive, to destroy, to bring down and oppose your kingdom, but he will not succeed. His efforts will amount to nothing. We want to pray for those who are still deceived, who are still in the dark, Lord, that you may draw them to your light. Lord, I ask that as Paul prays that our hearts may be established, that we may be firm, that we may have a tight grip on you, and that grip would only grow. So Jesus, bless the study of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives us more information regarding the coming of the lawless ones. And Paul is writing with a question from the Thessalonians. They were wondering whether or not the evil one has already been revealed and Jesus had already come. I remember traveling, and it was through Dubai, and you know, the sun in Dubai is up by 5. The flight was supposed to be at 9. So got there at night. It was a complimentary night at our hotel, and off I went to bed. My alarm was on. I had to wake up early, make sure I wake up early so I don't miss the flight. So I wake up, and all of a sudden, there was light through the big window, and I'm thinking, I have missed this flight. And I'm thinking, it is probably 10 a.m. So I first give up. I'm like, you know what? Let me plan on the next flight. First sit there and thinking, you know, okay, let me find a solution to this flight that I've missed. But all of a sudden, I was thinking, no, let me try to see that, you know, if I'm still in. So I look at the clock and it was 7. And maybe that has happened to you. You wake up and you're thinking, I've missed something. And so the Thessalonians thought they had missed something regarding the return of Christ. He had already come. That could have been because of the falsehood around them or the persecution they suffered, part of the troubles that will suffer as a sign of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was already happening in the early church. Paul, have we missed? Have we been left behind? Have we missed our flight, our last flight out of this place? And he says to them, do not be shaken. You've missed nothing. So having delivered the first letter, 1 Thessalonians, Timothy brings back word. This was their concern. We are in pain, under persecution. Is this the great tribulation? Have we missed something? No. And let no one deceive you. Don't be troubled, either in mind or in your spirit, or by any other means, as though you have missed the coming of our Lord Jesus. And let no one deceive you by any means. And he assures them that day will not come until a few things happen. One of them is a great falling away. We have all these technical terms when we study theology. And one of them is apostasy, unintentional falling away from the truth. That has to happen. It has not happened yet, Thessalonians. It is actually going to happen. And when we read church history, almost every age that suffered so much deception and persecution thought they were the ones going through the Great Tribulation, even in the Middle Ages. Like, we are the ones who are going through this. It's right here before us. There's going to be a major falling away from the truth, and we see it happening in our day. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, the days that we live in, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. If I came up with a doctrine today that is completely a twist of scripture, I guarantee you our church would fill up in just a few weeks. Something exciting. Something that is close to the truth but so far from the truth. And you know, false teachers don't come out and like, you know, I'm a false teacher, follow me. No, they don't do that. They just get scriptures the way that we're reading them, but somehow they throw it on the other side of truth. And people get confused, but the guy was reading the Bible, but he was teaching from the Bible. Maybe he's just a little off. It's poison. And at the end of the first letter, he told them, test all things. Test prophecy. Test the word of God. Don't receive everything that you hear like it is true. Make sure it is aligning with the entire Bible. When it's off, then probably in a wrong place and you need to move. Maybe help others as well. Deceiving spirits, we have so many deceptive teachers all across the world, not just here, everywhere. There are those believers we know of who have chosen to follow a lie. They once walked in truth. We once had fellowship with them. But today, they are following some other strange doctrine. Their consciences, leaders and followers, seared with hot iron. They're not following God or His Spirit. They're even forbidding to marry, commanding some to abstain from certain foods. Legalism. I think it was in 2012 when a man from somewhere in the U.S. came up with the idea that Judgment Day was, I think, 12th May. You remember all those billboards? And he had done his math. He convinced the whole world. He told his followers to sell off all their property. They gave him all the money. They put these billboards all over the world. Jesus did not come on 12th May 2012, did he? Was that Judgment Day? It crushed so many. How could they have done that knowing Jesus said, nobody knows? Yet this guy claimed to know. And because he claimed to know, he had a huge following. There are those who will claim to know. This is one of the ways you can identify a false teacher. They claim to know what everybody else does not. Let me tell you something. I heard from God this. And it's a special revelation. Just be careful. It's deceptive all the time. We have the entire revelation of God right here. And if there's anything else contrary to this or extra from this, we have to question. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You wonder why all these false teachers have a huge following? They have some exciting news to their followers, and their followers like it. And they will do everything to sponsor these people in their deception. You know that happens, right? If the guy wants a 2020 Mercedes-Benz, they're going to buy it. That's the way they respect their prophet, right? The guy wants a new mansion. He just snaps a finger and the followers will do that completely unchristlike. That's what their followers did. They desire deception. Their itching ears want something deceptive. That's why they follow. These people actually know the truth. In fact, a good number of people who follow falsehood actually know it is falsehood, but somehow they want something out of it. This prophet always has good news. I want to go there so I hear some good news for myself. I know it's questionable, but I mean, who doesn't want a new house and a good job and all these fancy things they talk about? Not telling them to follow Jesus, but to pursue Christ for all the material stuff around us. Itching ears, and they heap for themselves. In fact, for some people, they create these false teachers. They pump them up. And if you follow conversations regarding these men, their followers will do anything. They will insult you. They will say crazy things about you. Just their question, their prophet. So unchristlike. But it says to Timothy, not you. Be watchful. Endure afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. There is deception growing around us. In almost every corner, there is a false teaching. Most victims are young believers who cannot separate the truth and the lie. And these false teachers discourage them from reading and studying their own Bibles. They become the Bible themselves. They don't even hold one. There are some. They hold the Bible, they read a verse or two. Others, they just come like they are in a very fancy suit, media-raged event, and off they go. Secondly, there's going to be a man who is going to be an earthly representation of people. He calls him here the man of sin, who is going to be revealed, the son of perdition or destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Is that familiar? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, is referred to as the prince who is to come. Daniel 8:23, he is the king of fierce countenance, fierce looks. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 to 45, he is the willful king. In John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus says this guy comes in his own name. And how is going to be revealed, we talked about previously, but briefly, he is going to make peace between Israel and every enemy Israel has. Now, you've been watching the news in the last week. Over 1,000 rockets fired from one place towards Israel. 1,000, you can imagine, in less than a week. The last time we saw that was in 2014. Because of the tension, there's going to be this smart man who is actually going to make peace between the Israelites and their enemies. In fact, almost, I think, 4 to 5 nations have made peace with Israel in the last 2 years. So it's happening. This man is going to be the fold representation of Satan on earth. We call him the Antichrist, son of perdition, the man of sin, the instead of Christ or the opposite of Christ. Claims to be Christ, claims to be from God. Very brilliant, very fierce, very strong, very courageous, very cunning, very deceptive. He's going to deceive the whole world, at least the majority. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, we are warned, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come out, or gone out into the world. By this you will know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, the opposite of Christ, the instead of Christ, which you have heard was coming and is already working in the world. They reject the fact that Jesus came in the flesh and died on the cross and obviously rose from the dead. They believe Jesus was just an angel. Maybe Jesus was a brother to an angel, some angel. Maybe Jesus was just a spirit. They denied the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. That has been around for a long time. Lots of cults believe that. We authentic Christians get saved because of his crucifixion and death and resurrection. No other way to be saved. Anyone who takes away from that is false. We have to keep away from them. He sits as God in the temple. So he's going to make this 7-year peace deal. And in between 3.5 years, he is going to desecrate the temple, claim to be God, demand to be worshipped, and the Bible calls that the abomination that causes destruction, the blasphemy that brings about destruction. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. He's going to claim to be God, demand to be worshipped, and wants to control everyone. Eventually, demand everybody to have a sign of belonging to him called the 666 mark. That temple is going to be part of the peace deal. The reconstruction of the temple is going to be part of the peace deal. Now, you know that the center of conflict in Israel right now is that 37-acre plot of land called the Temple Mount. When the Israelites were dispersed by the Romans, the Muslims took over, the Turks took over, and they built their mosque right where used to be the temple, very near. Not the exact place, but part of the land was where the temple was. That temple was destroyed, and now it is the center of conflict between Israel and all the other Muslims. This man is actually going to be brilliant enough, and is going to say, you know what, this land is 37 acres. You Muslims, you can have your mosque there. Jews, there's enough land for your temple. And the Temple Institute in Israel has everything ready to rebuild the third temple. Every articles mentioned in Exodus about the temple are ready for the reconstruction. So it could happen really soon. And we hear efforts of making that peace because of the escalation of violence. A lot of international forces are coming and say, hey, don't fight. What's the problem? Let's work this out. That will happen. Maybe just before the rapture, a little after. We'll look at that in detail in Revelation. So don't worry. That has not yet happened, Christians. You have not missed anything. That is going to happen. And then he says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed. There's a reason why this man is not yet revealed. There is power holding evil back from completely consuming this world. God himself is doing that through the presence of his Holy Spirit and through us, the church. We are that army that is pushing back forces of evil. They will not have complete control of this world. They will try to, and they're trying to, but they will not. Though the mystery of lawlessness, the work of sin is already at work, he who restrains him will have to first give way. The enemy cannot just have everything once in this world, much as it has quite a bit of control and dominance. And the Bible here says that at one point, he will be given permission to do whatever he wants. God will take his church away and somehow say to him, it's okay, you take over. And then the lawless one, then verse 8, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. He's going to be given a very short time to have full control of this world. And then God destroys him in a microsecond. It says then verse 10, the coming of a lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Though Satan is active right now, he has limited power. We read through the book of Job and other places, he cannot do everything he wants. Sometimes he actually has to ask God for permission. Can I do this? And God says, no, you can't. Can I do this, please? All right, you do it, but that's all. Limited power. But at one point, God is going to say to him, right, fine, have your way. And that will be a form of judgment against this Christ-rejecting world. So there's going to be a combination of Satan, who is a mighty fallen angel, and this man of sin, who is completely given to him, like his earthly representation. He's going to be a political figure, a religious figure, an economic figure. He's going to promote every form of lawlessness. And we see that happening all over the world right now. Every government is withdrawing what we call the moral consciousness of this world. Whatever you want to do, it's fine. You want to call yourself whatever, it's okay. You're male, female, other, fine. Like which other? In Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 6, then I stood at the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. The sea is a picture of the world. It's coming out of the world, having 7 heads and 10 horns. It's eventually going to be 10 world units that he convinces to lead. He will subdue the 3 by a majority 7 votes. And on his horns, 10 crowns. And on his head, a blasphemous name. He's going to be full of blasphemy. He's going to speak against God very clearly. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, a representation of Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. He is actually going to have some miraculous powers. In Revelation, the very same chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, he performs great signs. so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Impressive. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Encouraging the whole world to follow the evil one. Be careful when you see some strange signs and wonders. They may not all be from God. The enemy, Satan himself being a mighty angel, actually has the ability to do signs and wonders, even as we live, with intention to deceive. God obviously is mighty. He's the one who does all mighty signs and wonders. The enemy has the ability to duplicate them. And he makes those things appear like they're from God. And that's why people are going to follow him. If somebody walks in here and is able to perform some signs and wonders, some magic, or even some illusions, you know what will happen? You will be so impressed. You'll be like, yeah, everyone needs to be our pastor. We need a new pastor, and this is going to be the guy, right? And Revelation chapter 20 talks about his end. So after being given permission to deceive the world, to deceive those who do not receive the love of God and his truth there mentioned in verse 10, God allows people to be deceived. Like, these people want to be deceived, it's fine. Satan, God deceive them, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned or judged or destroyed, those who do not believe the truth, who enjoy the pleasures of unrighteousness. We saw one of the signs of the falling away was such that men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this world is constantly being designed for pleasure. There's a pleasure park, a fun park, opening up everywhere around the world, everywhere. Please come and have fun. These rides, these whatever it is, dream trips, right? Go have fun. It's not sin to go have fun, but in that design for us to go have fun, his intention is to make sure we walk away from God and follow him. He does not come to you and says, you know what? Sorry, you can't have fun. You're a Christian. No, this is fine. It's going to be fun. Come, let's go. Package is something so unrighteous, fun. And that's why people fall for it. But we know their fate. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, Satan, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for just a little while. It's not even Jesus who handles Satan. Do you notice in Revelation 20? He actually sends an angel. So we grew up being taught that, you know, God and Satan are in this constant fight, personified in good and evil, and they're just fighting and fighting, and one day God wins, another day Satan wins, another day God kicks, and another day the enemy punches. No. God is the creator. Satan is a fallen angel. In Revelation 20, an obedient, powerful angel comes with a chain and grabs him, chains him, and locks him away. And he'll be released. We'll talk about that later in Revelation. He'll be released for 1,000 years, just for a little bit. And then he'll be, it's like, you know, a prisoner, and they get him out, and he sees normal life, like, oh, this is what the world looks like, and go back to prison. That's what will happen to Satan. So having been informed about this, so the Thessalonians, you've not missed anything. You've not missed the return of the Lord. You've not missed anything in that regard. There are things that will happen, and we've seen them falling away, a revelation of this man of sin, and a handing over of this world to deception. God says, Satan, have your way. You've not missed any of those. And in fact, we may see the progression of these events. We will not be here when these things happen. Good news, right? Maybe you're thinking, what if these events trap me here? You will not. God will take you away fast. He will snatch away his church to actually give way to those be deceived, those who remain to be deceived by the enemy. Interestingly, there are those who will be saved during this time we call the Great Tribulation. Many will be saved and be persecuted, and they will be killed for their faith. Not us. We will be taken away. Now that you're aware of all that, what should you do? Verses 13 to the very end. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the very beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the belief in the truth. to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're redeemed, you're saved, you've been given the privilege to be part of God's kingdom. God came down, you chose him, so you're chosen for salvation. You've been set apart for him. You believe the truth, you've been set apart by the Spirit of God. You believed our gospel. You've done all that. You are destined to glory, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be completely perfect in all ways, like it was in Eden before the fall. You're going to be with the Lord in heaven when you die. We saw that at the end of the first letter. Christ is coming down with you to establish his righteous reign here on earth. He's going to renew everything. He reminds them. He has already written about all this. And he says, therefore, this is the conclusion of the matter, Christians. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught you, whether by word or by writing you letters. Hold fast. And it's going to end in prayer shortly. Hold on to the truth that you have. Hold on to your Bible. Sometimes the truth is not very exciting. Sometimes you open the Bible and it's just challenge after challenge, challenge after challenge. Like a sword cutting through you. And it hurts. Hold on to that. You'd rather be challenged by the Bible and then you grow than be excited by a false teacher and be destroyed in the process. And that word stand fast is take your position. Christians, you're the light. Stand as the light. You're the salt. Stand as the salt. You're children of God. Stand as his children. You believe in the truth. Believe in the truth. Don't give up. Don't drop the truth. You're walking in God's way of righteousness. Keep going that direction. It's the safest way to go. Well, there is persecution. Yes, there is persecution, but you go in God's way of righteousness. And that's what he tells them. The Romans are persecuting them. The fellow Jews were persecuting them. Religious and political persecution. And as we live today, that persecution is going to grow. There are some places that now you can't say anything about Jesus Christ or the Bible or anything related to God. You'll be regarded intolerant. Somehow they think they are very tolerant by being intolerant towards the truth. Can you imagine how upside down this world is? Somehow they have their freedom, but they withdraw all our Christian freedoms. You cannot do this as Christians. You can't. That's going to happen to us. Let us stand firm. The storms of deception will blow. The enemy is going to tempt. Persecution will come. The pressures of this world will distress us to the core. The disasters that are going to be signs of the return of Jesus Christ will overwhelm us. It is overwhelming the world already as we speak, this pandemic. Stand firm. Fast. Stand firm. Take your position as God's representatives, his ambassadors, his light, his messengers. He writes to Timothy, we read that verse earlier. Fulfill your ministry, do the work of the evangelist. March on as God's army. So in verse 4, it says, stand fast through persecution and pains and tribulations. In verse 8, we can stand fast because we know this world is going to be judged. All these persecutors of ours, all these perpetrators of evil will be severely punished. We should stand fast because, in the truth, because the deception is coming, right? Why should we stand fast? It's a lie coming. It's already around. We stand fast because we have a glorious future. We just read. We have a glorious future. We believed in the glorious gospel. We have a glorious God. Our destiny, glorious. We have paradise to inherit. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. It's time for us Christians to stand firm in our faith. We'll end with Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. A persecuted church is writing to, he himself is in prison, and he says to them, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I stay in prison, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. You united in this stand, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what we need to do. All these things are going to happen around us, and God says to us, you are my children, you stand. You stand. And in closes with prayer, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish or strengthen you in every good word and work. What a beautiful, powerful, short prayer praise upon the Thessalonians, and it does so upon us. And let's stand and say this prayer upon ourselves, right? Let's please stand. Verses 16, 17, let's read it out loud, and we're praying this upon ourselves, right? Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work. Amen.